Hey ladies, today we're going to talk about postpartum. One of the questions I have gotten a lot lately is how do I balance my hormones postpartum? And I think that a lot of times that is where we start to come into learning about hormone balances when we've had a baby and everything is different and what is normal and what is not normal. So I'm going to go into all of that today. I'm going to go into timelines of what is normal with hormones, breastfeeding, and how to support your body in feeling really good during that time and getting your cycle back in a healthy and happy way. Welcome to the Happily Hormonal Podcast. Now, if you're a little iffy on whether or not the word hormonal is a good one, then you are in the right place. If you would love to have lasting energy, balanced hormones, and better periods, and you find yourself spending all of your precious time after the kids go to bed researching what to eat, what supplements to take, how to exercise, and you feel overwhelmed by all the info out there, then I've got you. I'm Leisha Drew, is registered nurse and functional diagnostic nutrition practitioner, plus mama of three little ones, and I know that hormone balance doesn't have to be hard. I'll help you balance your hormones without perfection with simple steps that actually work for busy mamas so you can feel good inside and out and be present, joyful, and confident in the beautiful life you're already living. If you're in for happy hormones, taking messy action, and seeing results without perfection, then put your hair in that mom bun, grab your toddler the seventh snack of the day, and grab yourself a bone broth hot chocolate so we can do this. So let's talk about postpartum. And before we dive into what's normal, what's not normal, all the things today, I want you to know that I have two resources for you, and I'm going to kind of differentiate where these resources fit in based on where you are postpartum or even in pregnancy, if you're listening to this in pregnancy. So number one, I do have a full postpartum guide, and this is going to go into way more depth than I could possibly go into in a podcast episode. This postpartum guide is over 100 pages, and it was created with my friend, Dr. Nicole, who is a postpartum physical therapist, a pelvic floor physical therapist. And so we created this guide specifically for the first 6 weeks postpartum to really help you support your mood, your energy, your hormones, and your pelvic floor. And so that is for you if you are late in pregnancy. We have a lot of tips to help you prepare for postpartum. And if you are within that first 6 weeks, to be honest, even 12 weeks of postpartum, you can use that guide and the support that we have there for hormones and for pelvic floor. Now, if you are somewhere between the 6+ weeks postpartum, maybe 6 weeks to 1 year to 2 years, anytime after that, then Nourish Your Hormones is where I would recommend you start with the step-by-step support for balancing your hormones, because Nourish Your Hormones actually can also support you in pregnancy, in postpartum. I am really careful to be specific if there's anything that I recommend within that course that is not helpful for pregnancy or postpartum. Breastfeeding, I will definitely share with you that, you know, this is a piece to wait until you're not breastfeeding or wait until you're not pregnant. But so much, I would say 95% of Nourish Your Hormones applies to you even in pregnancy, even in postpartum. So that is still going to be the bigger roadmap, the blueprint for nourishing well, to support hormones, for understanding what's happening with your hormones, and supporting a lifestyle that is going to help you have better periods, better moods, and more energy in whatever phase of motherhood you are in. It truly is all-encompassing for all the phases, all the stages, and the steps are simple enough that you can implement it in a busy life. And with it being a self-paced program, you have the time to implement it at your pace, but you may not have known that it doesn't mean you're just on your own. You have full support in our community. You can ask questions anytime. And as a Nourish Your Hormones student, you have access to monthly Q&A sessions with me, which means you can personally ask me your questions. I will personally answer them for you to the best of my ability, knowing what I know about you. And you can get that support every single month. It's not a short-term thing. So you do have a lot of support within that course. It's not just a buy the course and forget about it and forget to do it. You really can get support along with that. So I just want to encourage you as a postpartum mama, whatever number of months or years postpartum you are, that there is so much hope for your hormones. We can get you to the place that you want to go, or at least a much better place, And I just can't wait to support you with that. So those are the resources I have for you more long-term than this episode, but let's dive into balancing your hormones postpartum. So the first question that needs to be answered is, what is normal for postpartum hormones, right? Because we know the hormones get crazy postpartum, but like, what else do we know outside of that? So let's just talk about it. When you are pregnant, you have a high level of estrogen and progesterone. That's what's helping with cell development. That's helping keep you pregnant. It's helping with your increased metabolism, your increased thyroid function, just like keeping you and the baby all good, all healthy through pregnancy. So you need a lot of estrogen for that. You need a lot of progesterone for that. And those hormones are responsible for some of the pregnancy positive symptoms, like the pregnancy glow and the thick hair and the glowing skin. And, you know, kind of like those positive symptoms do come from those higher levels of estrogen and progesterone. When you have your baby, there is a huge change in hormones, and it's similar to the change that happens at the very end of your cycle, where your estrogen and progesterone drop off dramatically and then you start to bleed. But it's just to such a higher extent because your estrogen and progesterone are so much higher during pregnancy. And then once you give birth, you don't need that many hormones anymore. And so your body lets them go. So those hormone levels drop, which means you don't have the effects of those hormones anymore, but it also means that your body needs to be able to move those hormones out for it to be a smooth transition. And so you have a very big drop in estrogen and progesterone, but you have a rise in a couple of other hormones that may or may not be quite as common to talk about. And so once you have your baby, you have a really big increase in two other hormones. One of them is oxytocin. So oxytocin is known as like the love hormone or the feel-good hormone, and it is that for sure, but it's also the same hormone or the original form of the hormone that's used to help you have contractions during labor. And the synthetic form that you get in the hospital is called Pitocin. And so oxytocin actually comes right after birth, not only to give you that great feeling and help you bond with your baby, but also to help your uterus contract back down to its normal size, to make sure that there's not any issues with bleeding, and help you even start to recover quickly inside of your uterus. So oxytocin is a hormone that rises really soon after birth, within the first 24 hours or so. And then prolactin is the other hormone that rises after birth. And that one is to help with breastfeeding, to help with milk production. And so prolactin production is mostly stimulated by the infant sucking during feeding, but you do have a initial rise in that just naturally. And then once you start to nurse, that prolactin is going to rise each time that you nurse for the first little while to stimulate that milk supply. And that is going to be the hormone that is most affected by consistency with pumping, with breastfeeding, and it helps regulate your milk supply. But prolactin does have an effect on your cycle, and prolactin is going to help keep estrogen at lower levels because estrogen is going to interfere with milk supply. And so especially the first 3 months of breastfeeding, and even up to the first 6 months of breastfeeding, you're going to have definitely lower estrogen levels than you would if you were not breastfeeding at all. And I personally saw lower estrogen levels up to almost 2 years postpartum for me, because I was still breastfeeding at that point, and I have done a couple of Dutch tests on myself in the last couple of postpartum periods, and still had lower estrogen levels than normal while I was still breastfeeding, even years out. So it can last for a while that you have lower estrogen levels, and we'll talk about what that looks like symptom-wise long-term, but your body is working to primarily help your baby have enough food with that prolactin, help your body recover with the oxytocin, and it's not primarily looking for future fertility because you've just had a baby, you have a lot of recovering to do, you're taking care of that baby, and so the estrogen and progesterone are going to stay fairly low at least the first 3 months, and they can go back to pre-pregnancy levels, or they can even be lower than that. And as a reminder, you're not going to be making progesterone until you ovulate postpartum. So that's what we're seeing with hormone levels postpartum, but let's talk about what that actually looks like in your body. So one question I also get a lot is what's normal for when your cycle comes back postpartum. And that's a question that I'm going to answer in a very annoying way that says everything is normal to a certain extent. But some women are going to get their periods back 6 weeks postpartum, even if they're, you know, completely breastfeeding, exclusively breastfeeding. And some women are not going to get their period back for 12 months, 18 months, even. I would say anytime after 18 months, that's where I would definitely, even between 12 and 18, depending on symptoms. So if you're 12 months postpartum, feeling great, energy's great, everything is good, and you still haven't gotten your period back, not a concern to me. If you get to that same point around 18 months postpartum, I'm going to maybe just want to check that your nutrients are in place, make sure that your thyroid is working as well as we think it is. Again, that's all within the context of things feeling really, really good. Now, if you get to 12 months, 18 months postpartum, and you're like, I feel terrible, I have a lot of fatigue, hair loss, you know, hands and feet are cold, my metabolism is slowed down, my gut is a mess, I'm anxious, I'm not sleeping, like any of those things would warrant looking into making sure that your body has what it needs for its cycle to come back a lot sooner, I would say, definitely by the 12-month mark. But those are things to look into regardless whether or not your cycle comes back or not. So anytime between 6 weeks, 12 months postpartum, I would say it's going to be the most common, and really, truly, probably like 6 months to 12 months postpartum is going to be the most common time for your period to come back. Now, one really important thing to remember that is sometimes easily forgotten in the postpartum haze is that you typically, almost always, will ovulate before you get your period postpartum. And so if you are using nothing as a form of birth control because you haven't gotten your period back, that is going to be a little more risky if you don't understand how to track your cycle. And you can track your cycle postpartum even if you don't have a cycle, especially if you have experience doing this before. That's going to help you a lot. But essentially what you're looking for, and this is a deeper topic, do not use this 2 minutes of me talking about it as your only birth control method. If this is something you're like, okay, yes, this is for me, then you need to do more research. I have more resources for you. Just reach out for those. But when you are postpartum, when we're looking for ovulation, the biggest things to look for is just really the return of cervical mucus. And so if you have none, which is really common for a while postpartum, if you see absolutely nothing, you're actually paying attention, then that's going to be the most important thing to look for. You can also track temperatures postpartum, but you don't have to be told. That's not the easiest thing to do when you are breastfeeding, when you are waking up at night with your baby. And also the tricky part about temperature tracking is that you're going to know that you ovulated after you ovulated. So it's not going to help you for prevention of pregnancy necessarily, but it is going to help you confirm that you've ovulated if you are paying attention to other ovulation symptoms. So one thing that I would say is if you want to track your temperatures postpartum, you can use a temp drop. That was really helpful for me. It's just a little device that you put on your arm and you're able to track your temperatures that way. And it's more accurate when you're getting up in the night and you're breastfeeding and that kind of thing, because you're not, you don't have the same issues with how long you've been awake and those type of things, because it's just going to track your temperature through the night and give you an average. So if you want to track temperatures, that's a good way to do it. But otherwise, really paying attention carefully for the return of cervical mucus, and then being really, really careful to use protection anytime there is cervical fluid until you get your period, because sometimes you'll have a little patch here for a couple of days, a little patch there for a couple of days as your body is restarting ovulation before you actually see the clear, like, okay, yes, I did have cervical mucus a few days, then I did have a temp rise, and then now I know my period's coming in about 2 weeks, kind of a thing. But you may have a period of time in between there that's a little more iffy, a little more spotty, and you're not sure. And so that's a great time to make sure that you're being careful using protection. So you can track your cycle when you don't have one, but you are going to have to pay attention a little more carefully at that point. And there is a method that says it's pretty rare to get pregnant that first month, 6 months postpartum, if you haven't gotten your cycle back and if you are exclusively breastfeeding. But depending on what your family planning looks like, pretty rare may not be good enough for you. You may really need to pay attention and make sure that it doesn't happen. Okay, so now that we've talked about hormones and cycle, let's talk about just how you feel postpartum and what is normal and what's not normal. This, again, is going to be a range. We're all different. We all have different deliveries. We all have different babies. We all have different support systems. So do keep all of those things in mind. But what is really normal, especially if you're a first-time mom listening to this, is for that first week, 2 weeks, 6 weeks, honestly, hopefully by 6 weeks it's getting better, to just feel kind of like this weird, I just was telling my sister about this, like this weird vortex of like, where even are you? What's going on? Where your whole goal for the day is to take a shower and it's like 6 p.m. and you finally get it done. And it's like, what in the world have I even been doing all day? But you've been, I mean, of course, what you've been doing is taking care of your baby and paying attention to their every single need and like also trying to feed yourself and also trying to like recover from having that baby. I think definitely the first week is very much like that. And then, you know, it slowly but surely starts to get a little more normal-ish. I know for me, it was usually somewhere around the month to 2 months postpartum, and all of my babies were different. All of their circumstances were different, but where I would kind of be like, oh, look at me. Like, I made food for everybody today, and I also took a shower, and I also fed the baby, and like, it kind of feels normal. Or like, oh, I was able to get out by myself with whatever number of children I had at that point, or, you know, kind of those like milestones where you're like, look at me, I'm a regular person again. And then you'll have days after that where you're not a regular person again. And it's just a huge transition from either no children to one, or however many you're adding at a time, usually one. But it truly, there's a saying that says like, every time you give birth, like you're giving birth to yourself as well in a new way. And I think that that's really true. Like, you change with each birth and each child, and you're adapting. And so my biggest advice and recommendation is just giving yourself so much grace and space to be able to be where you are. And that definitely doesn't mean to just, you know, like wallow around in misery. I'm not saying that whatsoever, but to just realize that like your capacity will change, that your expectations of yourself need to change because you've added a whole nother person to your life and your body has gone through something really, really big and it is recovering. So in that first week, my midwives have always recommended that you stay in bed pretty much completely. Like, you get up to go to the bathroom, and that's pretty much it. Stay in bed. It helps so much with the amount of pressure that you're putting on your pelvic floor. It helps with uterine healing. It helps with bleeding not lasting so long. And also, if you're just in bed with your baby, you can focus so much more on that connection with them, with nursing well. It takes a while, in my experience, even with baby number 3. I was like, okay, I feel like I have to like learn how to do this again because I have a different baby. And being able to have that space to do that is really important, and it can be a challenge for sure. So if you are pregnant and looking forward to this, then setting that expectation early can be really helpful for family and friends. And this is where, when they're asking to help, so much of the time that first week, people really are so willing to help, especially. And so you can tell your friends, yes, I do need this toddler to be gone for the morning. Or tell your husband, like, hey, you know, I've planned ahead to a certain extent, but this whole week you're on meals. And so if you need help, then like, that's where the meal train from the church comes in, or that's where these gift cards we got came in, or were, you know, if you don't have family or friends nearby, then like, this is where you plan ahead yourself for freezer meals, or, you know, just a little stockpile of money for DoorDash or whatever that looks like. Those type of things can be so helpful to take the pressure off of you for what you normally do. And even with other kiddos, I think most commonly you would have some sort of toddler, whether that's like a 1-year-old, a 3-year-old, something like that is usually the range where you'll have another baby. And so you know, making provision for them, whether that truly is like someone else to watch them, your husband watch them, mom, dad, whatever, or even just having this was a game changer for me because I had with my third, because I already had a little boy toddler. He was 3. And I was like, what am I going to do when I need to nurse the baby? And my seasoned mom friends were like, oh, you just have a special stash of activities, toys, whatever for him that are just for when you're nursing, and he will be excited about it and it'll give him things to do. And so they were gracious and like loaned me all of these toys. I cannot tell you the value of borrowing toys from friends, because for me, I'm a huge fan of not having millions of toys in my house. And even just having a little basket of a couple different toys that my kids are not used to, they're new, they're exciting, and then you keep them for a month or two and then you give them back, that can be beautiful because you don't have to get rid of them. You don't have to like worry about having way too many toys, but your kids can still have something new. So that was just one way that my friends supported me with my third, was they gave me these different little activities and toys and puzzles for my 3-year-old, and he loved them. And so even that first week where you're in bed and you're like, this is a joke, right? Like, how could I possibly be in bed with a toddler? Well, whatever circumstances you're in, you just do your best. But that could be a way, literally free way, to help entertain your toddler while you need to rest more. And then that second week postpartum, hey friends, sorry to interrupt, but I have something new and free for you. So it's going to be worth it. I just created a private pod course that is going to teach you all about how to actually balance your blood sugar for happier hormones and more stable moods and energy. And I'm giving away the first 2 episodes completely free. All you have to do is sign up and grab those, and you will have complete access right away. Your link is in the show notes, and I will see you in there. It's really helpful to still be resting a lot and to be really more like on the couch so that you can be a little more present, but definitely not like up and doing all the things that you normally do, and definitely not trying to get back to exercise or even long walks until you have stopped bleeding. It's the recommendation that I have gotten, and I have found that it's really helpful for pelvic floor healing to follow those recommendations, and the bleeding typically stops a lot sooner if you're not getting up and reopening. Essentially, there's a wound inside of your uterus from where the placenta had attached for all of those months, and you're just irritating reopening it the more you move around. And so being able to just chill, let yourself be, try to be as, you know, as still, quiet and restful as possible is really powerful in those weeks. And again, I'm not negating that it's a hard thing to do and that it's against, you know, most of our personalities to do that, but literally 2 weeks out of your life, it's worth it, and it's not as long as it feels in the moment. Okay, so let's talk about a couple of things: energy, mood, those type of things postpartum. I think that it's really, really common in those first couple of weeks to just feel like everything is different, everything's changed. It's easy to cry, it's easy to feel overwhelmed, it's easy to feel really happy, it's just easy to feel kind of like all the feelings in those times. And I think that that is completely normal. Where I think that it comes into more of a range of like postpartum depression, postpartum anxiety, is when it is especially like past those first couple weeks and or very extreme, where it's, you know, to a different level, where it's not just like, okay, like I'm not really sleeping well and so like it's easy to cry, or everything about my life has changed, like now I'm in bed and I have this baby and like, you know, my hands are really full. That can feel overwhelming, even though it also feels like the best thing that's ever happened to you, but it also feels like so hard. That I feel like that range is really normal, but feeling like completely uninterested in your baby, feeling really disconnected, really depressed, really super, super sad, really, really angry, really, really anxious, those heightened emotions, even in the first few weeks, are something to really take note of and make sure that you talk to your provider about and check in with, like, is this within the realm of like pretty typical coming off of these pregnancy hormones and adjusting, or is this more than that? I think that that's really important. And once you get, you know, past those first few weeks postpartum, it can be common. I think postpartum anxiety is something that's not talked about as much as postpartum depression. So we all have the idea of kind of like what baby blues are, and that you're feeling more down, you're feeling more disconnected, even more isolated post baby. I think that a lot of those symptoms, though, can be so quickly and easily related to not having enough connection and not having enough support. Because as a new mom, we need those things so much. Like, we're craving to be mothered as we learn to mother, whether we're learning to mother again, our first child, our fourth child, whatever that is. I think that a lot of times it does, to some extent, get easier to go through postpartum as you go, because you've done it before and you understand a little more like how you felt before related to now. But one of the biggest things that you can do to support yourself postpartum is create a plan ahead of time. And so if you're someone who needs people around, like, make the plan to have people around. This is a time to be needy, essentially, or to like be willing to ask for help, especially because so many people typically do offer in that first couple of weeks postpartum. And a lot of people are very respectful and don't want to be in your space, but we'll say, like, just let us know what we can do to help. And then usually, I feel like in our society, we just typically will be like, oh, like, I don't want to bother them, whatever. But when people are truly offering to help, then asking, you know, especially if you, again, you are someone who likes to have people around, like, have them come over for an hour and sit with you and just make it really clear, like, I can only handle an hour, that's enough, but I need someone to come visit me, you know, every day or every couple of days. Or as you get a little further out, finding mom friends that have babies a similar age, or that you can just go over to their house versus having to like take your children out somewhere in public while you're still like trying to figure out how to handle all of these kids that you now have. That was something that felt really safer to me than like going into a big crowd of people with a newborn. But if I had a friend that I trusted and like knew that her kids were healthy and that she would tell me if they weren't, then I could just go over to her house, still get out of the house, still get a little bit of conversation, but like essentially go plop myself on their couch and just be there for a little bit, be out of the house, but not have the pressure of, you know, trying to keep your kids behaved in public or trying to breastfeed while you're still figuring it out in a public place or whatever that looks like. So connection, I think, can be so important. And the other, I mean, the real biggest thing, I think, or, you know, I think that all of these are going to be big for each person in a different way, but making sure that you have provision for nourishing your body well is going to be another huge factor in supporting mood postpartum, but also supporting energy postpartum. And so when we're looking at the most common symptoms postpartum, it's fatigue, it's, you know, low mood, it's just feeling really, really run down and feeling overwhelmed. And those things can be so directly tied to how your body is receiving nutrients. And it's also hard when you have a new baby to actually feed yourself every couple hours and actually like have the right food on hand and things like that. So I think, again, this is where preparing ahead of time is so important. And this is why I have that covered really thoroughly in the postpartum guide. And when you are able to plan ahead, first of all, number one, you have to know how to nourish your body well. And so if you're still unclear on that, then that's where the postpartum guide comes in. That's where Nourish Your Hormones comes in, so that you actually have the step-by-step, so that you're not kind of like winging it and trying to figure it out on your own and then being like, why isn't this working for me? Or even just questioning, right? It's sometimes if you're not sure that something is or isn't right for you, then it's really hard to be consistent with it. So get clear, number one, on what you need to do to nourish your body well, and then make provision for that. And one thing I love to work with Nourish Your Hormone students on is one of the steps early on in step one of the program is establishing baselines and understanding for you over time what makes the most difference in your body. So for some of us, that's breakfast. Like, you have to do that every single morning. That's a non-negotiable. For some of us, that's making sure that consistency happens throughout the day. For some of us, there's specific foods. For some of us, like, it's sleep. You know, we have to establish those things for ourselves. But once you understand what those specific things are, whether it's a specific range of macros or the other things that I will teach you to look for, then once you know those baselines ahead of postpartum, it can be so much more helpful to say, like, these are the things I'm going to need to make provision for, whether that's ask for help, tell your husband, make freezer meals, whatever that looks like, or even set up grocery delivery for those first couple of weeks. But having foods in the house that are going to nourish you well, and also having the ability to actually make those for yourself, whether that is like you're doing it or someone else is doing it, those are things to think about, because it can be easy to say like, oh yeah, my husband will be home, we'll have groceries in the fridge and he can just like make whatever for me. But if you don't even know what that is, I can tell you for sure you're definitely not going to know what that is postpartum, because your brain is scrambled eggs for a while and you're trying to take care of this baby. So I really think that getting clear on what you need nourishment-wise beforehand can make a really big difference. And if you're already in that season postpartum and you're like, yeah, I can attest to the scrambled egg brain, then that's where you can reach out and ask for help and we can figure it out for you right now so that you're not, you know, floundering for months until you are, you know, back to yourself completely. So making sure that nourishment is consistent, that mineral replenishment is consistent, can go so far toward a happier postpartum. And I can attest to this for myself with my third postpartum. It was completely different. I can attest to it with friends that I've supported and clients that I've supported. They have said again and again that just having this foundation of nourishment can make the biggest difference in your energy, in your mood, in all of the things postpartum. So when we're looking at essentially like how do we support balanced hormones, it's not as specific to hormones as you might think, where you're like, oh, I need to like make sure to take this certain supplement to help my hormones, or I need to make sure, you know, I always eat flax seeds or whatever that looks like that you've known about hormone balance in the past. It truly is just creating those foundations of good nourishment, of getting sunshine, getting connection, managing your stress as well as possible. And the hardest one, I think, postpartum is getting good sleep, right? And so each of those things, doing them to the best of your ability without freaking out when they're not perfect, is going to take you the furthest towards balanced hormones. Because when we go back to the foundations of what creates balanced hormones, it truly is going to be your body having the ingredients to do that. And so when we're looking at that postpartum and getting your cycles back and getting your cycles back in a good way, it's really those foundations that are going to have the biggest impact on your recovery long term. Hey, thanks so much for hanging out with me today. If you had as much fun with this episode as I did, make sure to share it with one or three of your besties and leave a rating and review so that more and more women can find this podcast and have happy hormones. And when you're ready to have pain-free periods, no more PMS, and energy and capacity to live the life you really want to live, then it's time to join us in Nourish Your Hormones. I can't wait to see you in there and help you have balanced hormones all month long. See you next time.